Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Friday, North America. The mothership reconnects. Welcome to our four-hour solar sports soiree live from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Heard on affiliates nationwide and north of the border on the free Odyssey app, the CBS Sports app, and SiriusXM channel 158. Or maybe you're watching watchda.com, YouTube, and Twitch. From Anchorage to Atlanta, from one Portland to the other, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
We have made it. We have done it. At least for this week, we have gotten to the end. 5 long days without our leader, without the namesake. He could only survive 4 days of being Jim Rome. D.A. is off altogether on this summer Friday, but we will put in a full week. Hard hats on. Blue collars up. We're still here. Pete's got a beach ball. I don't know where it came from. I don't know why he's got it. Usually he does not allow toys in the studio, but Pete breaks the rules. Pete makes the rules, and he's got a beach ball on the console.
I think we had a box social here yesterday.
We had ice cream yesterday. Well, they had ice cream here yesterday. We'll probably spend all of hour 3 on that, so sit tight. We're just like yesterday, we're compiling all the necessary sound before going to air with our grievances. But you've already heard from Pete. I'm Andrew. Ryan Botcher, 4, remains in the producer's chair, triumphantly finishing his debut week in that position. Peter Schwartz returns for headlines for a second consecutive day and a third this week if you're scoring at home. It's been a more than halfway Schwartz week here on the show. And that Pete makes our Pete happy. So that's all we care about as usual.
That's right.
And as always, we thank you for being with us at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. At CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish on Twitter. You know what it is. It's a Target Demo Friday.
Excuse me.
When we release the Kraken, when Cap sends out the bat signal, when the meme is live on social media, you tell us how and where you're listening and then answer which hand grenade question Cap attaches to it. He's been stirring the pot of Sean replacements recently, taking shots at other people. We'll see what he comes up with today as the third part of your Target Demo Friday meme. A little mini survey there. What else was coming up this morning? Well, Sounds of Saturday returns. It is year 1 in the Big 12 for UCF. Their longtime voice, Mark Daniels, will join us this morning to kick off hour number 3. Destin Adams from A to Z Sports gets up to date on Jonathan Taylor, Anthony Richardson, and the rest of Colts training camp. We had NFL preseason action last night. 2 games, Texans and Patriots, Vikings and Seahawks. We apparently know the NBA's opening night schedule. Iowa and Iowa State join the conference realignment surge. They are moving to the California Penal League as more Cyclones and Hawkeyes continue to be caught up in this gambling web in the great state of Iowa. And again, it's a Target Demo Friday, so stay tuned for the meme and then tell us again where and how you are listening. But first things first, let's tee it up on this Friday morning. No porta potties, though, on the course, as per Pete's request. Phil Mickelson's a gambler. That is not breaking news. The amount that Phil Mickelson may or may not have gambled, That's the news. That's where we begin. That's your cold open.
What are we playing for?
What are we playing for? I haven't thought about that.
What do you mean you haven't thought about it? What were you thinking about? Okay, well, Cameron and I will play, you guys. Play nine holes for a G.
Perfect.
Straight best ball. When you're closed out, you can press for half.
Not the full?
Not the full.
Okay.
So you got to win the match to win. If you want, what we'll do is we'll go 28. If you shoot 28 best ball, it's double. Camo and I, we don't do Venmo, PayPal, any of that bullshit. Like
straight cash.
Yeah, there you go.
Great
nice
job.
That's fine.
Nice. We're gonna press though.
Yeah. Oh, of course you are.
Yeah. It's tough when you shoot what? Six under?
What a two.
Six under in eight holes?
Yeah. Oh, that makes it double. I forgot. Almost. That's right. Yeah. Press for half. It's for 500.
Phil,
goodbye, dude. Enjoy being with you, man.
That was awesome. Fun. Congrats, my man. Yes, sir.
Totally different topic. The talk of the golf world is this book excerpt that came out about Phil Mickelson. I'm curious what the reaction in there was when you read about it.
I mean, at least he can bet on the Ryder Cup this year because he won't be a part of it, so.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Standing ovation for Rory McIlroy. That was the last voice you heard there in the cold open, taking a driver to the gut of Phil Mickelson. If you don't know the story by now, and the excerpts from this book that were released yesterday, that's Rory addressing the lead accusation in this memoir that Phil Mickelson tried to place a $400,000 bet on the Ryder Cup in 2012 for Team USA to win with Phil playing for Team USA. Now, Mickelson strongly denies that allegation, but that's the headliner, and that's where we get Rory's snark that I am here for all the time. Rory's been fighting the good fight from day one of this battle with Liv, and Phil often is the lead voice on the other side of things, and McIlroy is not back down, even though the PGA Tour completely deserted him in this fight, hung him out to dry. He's still fighting, still throwing elbows, still throwing barbs, so I'm here for Rory, and we'll get back to that in just a second. But let me just walk you through all of this in case somehow you've missed this story. And I guess from our vantage point, the fear for me is that this is Pete the Body Bilotti's future. Now, again, it begins with nickels and dimes and dollars and $5. And then very soon, it's 858 bets of at least $220,000. God forbid Bilotti ever makes Phil Mickelson money. Look out. I mean, making it rain. Sports books, gambling guys, running numbers on the corners.
I can't work seven jobs.
Look at, or maybe just one will become that lucrative, Pete. Or maybe, you know, maybe you can brand Pete Versus. It becomes a board game or an app. And then the money starts rolling in and it starts rolling back out, betting on whatever you want to bet on. But this book, it's a memoir. And I think Armin Katayan, who's been on this show and is a very well-known actual journalist, I think he helped write this. It's about Billy Walters, a Vegas businessman and the self-proclaimed best gambler ever. And he and Phil had a partnership. I guess Mr. Walters was so good at winning money and bet so much money that casinos, sports books, all the legal ways you can bet would limit his action because they could not, the house couldn't win enough against him. So they would limit what he could do. So he would eventually partner with people and bet through them because they didn't have those limitations and he would just take a cut of their action. So they're like partners. And Phil was one of those partners from roughly 2006 through 2014, basically. So the numbers that this guy is throwing around in this book, some of them are actually concrete because he knows he had access to the same accounts that Phil did. So he knows what Phil was doing. Now, the estimation from this book that Phil has bet over $1 billion in his lifetime is a number we can't know for sure. But we don't necessarily need to know the specific number to know that it's an obscene amount of money. A money that seems incomprehensible to 99.9% of us until Pete Bilotti gets there and we go along for the ride. In year 701 of this show, based on his current output, as we slowly
a compulsive gambler
increase the increments, Pete will eventually get there. When DA's great-great-grandson is hosting this show, that's when Pete will be wagering this amount of money on stuff.
It won't be here.
Because Phil Mickelson once started with nickel bets on the Mets money line, and now look what Phil's doing. And the headline again is the one accusation that really matters and the one that Phil specifically denies and the one that brought the great Rory line from yesterday is that in 2012, he called Billy Walters and wanted to bet $400,000 on him and Team USA winning the Ryder Cup. Now, they did not win the Ryder Cup that year. There was a great final day rally by the European team. The book says, because Billy Walters in the book says he immediately dismissed Phil's call and said, what are you doing? You can't ruin this. You can't bet on yourself in the Ryder Cup to win. The book says, you know, who knows if Phil ever found somebody else to put the bet for him. So maybe Phil lost his shirt and the Ryder Cup simultaneously. Mickelson denies that. I don't know that I need verification on that to get to this point. Let's just have Phil sit out the rest of the golf conversations. Let's just do that as we weed through all the PGA Live Golf nonsense, how the PGA Tour is going to let the guys who left for Live come back, how they are going to make whole the players that stuck with them and didn't take Live's tens and twenties and hundreds of millions of dollars to go over there, as we figure out just how shady the PGA Tour is in general and the Live Golf organizers are as well. We can talk to a lot of people. We can hear from multiple different voices. Let's just leave Phil alone. Let's just leave Phil out of it. He's going to keep talking. Let's just ignore it. Because in some form or fashion, he's just compromised here. He's got a gambling problem. He's admitted that. It's a real thing. No knocking addiction. No dismissing it. Understand the problems. And I guess in a weird way, thank God Phil Mickelson made boatloads of cash playing golf, because he probably would have bet as almost regularly as he does now if he didn't have any money. And if he didn't have any money, he might be divorced, homeless, living on the streets without a penny to his name, with dude trying to hunt him down and beat the you-know-what out of him because he owes them so much money. Because this problem is probably going to happen no matter what. He just has a well-funded problem. So when it comes to needing a voice of reason or having any kind of adult in the room, though, I just can't listen to him now. Because it's plausible. Very plausible, based on all the other things that we know that Phil has confirmed, that he gambled incessantly on everything. Winning, losing six, nine figures of money. He's just not qualified anymore to be in this conversation. We're going to need some kind of maturity, some kind of accountability, some kind of confidence in the type of people we're dealing with here. So no thanks on Phil. Like, that's enough. This is the end of the road for Phil having his own quips and his own shots back at the PGA Tour. Maybe he's right. The PGA Tour is going to deserve a lot of the heat they're going to get, and we should never forget that and never let him off the hook. We just don't need Phil in that fight. But man, oh man, can you imagine just assuming all of these numbers? And again, a lot of them are, we know them. We don't know the high end. We don't know whether Phil actually crossed the $1 billion plateau in gambling. But we do know a lot of the bets that he placed, because this dude can look at their accounts and see what Phil did. So there's a lot of fact in these numbers. It's not all guessing. Can you imagine? Imagine having all of that money with the ability to get rid of it and lose so much of it and then win so much of it. This is nuts to me. When this story came out yesterday, before we even got to the potentially betting on the Ryder Cup he was in, it's hard to wrap my head around. And I've gotten good at forgetting and dismissing and overlooking contract numbers and team value. We discussed those this week too. None of the numbers make sense. But this one was staggering. Staggering. Even if it's not $1 billion, it might be hundreds of millions of dollars. It's crazy. And this is the stuff we know about. This is the stuff that there's a paper trail of. Phil, and I've know people in and around golf, both from the, you know, the media side of things, people that work in the industry. Phil's one of those guys that you either love him because he does all this stuff, because he's a guy's guy and you're always having fun and whatever. And then he's, and then there's people like Rory who can't stand him. There's like no middle ground on Phil. It's one or the other. He either skeeves you out or you think he's the coolest dude in the room. And I'm starting to skew towards being skeeved out by him. But Petey, again, I want you to use this as an example, as a learning experience. Guardrails are important. Okay?
In many ways.
Don't forget, if you ever need help, I'm here. Ryan Botcher, 1 through 6, they're all here.
Oh, even 6?
And you can call 1-800-GAMBLER if you ever, if we are not there for you.
Hola?
A billion dollars.
I would lose money over $5.
Well, again, you're also, this is the voice of a guy who's afraid to bet $5.
Yeah.
So, like, this is so far out of my realm of, like, my reality. I think that's why it's so staggering that he's got extra $1 billion over years and years and years to gamble on the Rangers, the Giants, the Vikings, whatever. And, again, this is the stuff that there's a paper trail on. Who knows how much money? And you heard the clip at the beginning of the cold open of him just organizing bets on the golf course. I can't imagine the amount of money that has changed hands unofficially there.
And he's not the only one.
No, of course not. But he may be the worldwide leader in value or in money spent.
That was one game of 9 holes. All of that one clip?
Right.
It was 9 holes, and he made that many bets.
Yeah. Half of it I don't even understand. It was going so fast. But I just, it's unbelievable.
So that sounds like somebody with a real problem.
Oh, I mean, he does. I mean, he's admitted it. I think it's been,
right.
You know, he's had personal problems because of it. I don't know what he's doing now. I don't know how that's been in any way under control. It's a real problem. So I have sympathy for that he can't stop. But at some point, you have to address the situation and again, put guardrails on things. And one of them is, okay, you're out of the conversation. You're out of the big boy conversation now. You're disqualified. We'll talk to other people about what's good for golf and where golf should go and how these two groups should be friends again.
Yeah, this should be this should have some type of break from active competition.
Yeah. Well, right. And I mean, now I don't think LIV Golf cares at all. But if he was a PGA Tour golfer, I'm sure they already know. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy ever, but I still believe the one about Jordan playing baseball because he was in trouble gambling.
Oh, I think of all of them, that's a very true one.
I don't think you can change my mind on that. I think even whatchamacallit tried to, because Jordan was behind it and he would have liked to have changed my mind on it. But I'm always going to believe that one. So I can't imagine the files the PGA Tour has and what they know about Phil. But I mean, if he was still a really, truly active, prominent PGA Tour player, a guy that was, you know, in the top 10 in the world, still winning regularly, maybe winning majors, and we found out that he maybe one time tried to bet on himself in the Ryder Cup, the investigation you have to unleash to figure things out from what he was doing at the John Deere Classic would be immense.
Well, even with LIV Golf, I think LIV Golf it would be in their best interest to tell him to go home for a year or so. I mean, I think do the right thing, but you know, that's a very weird statement to say around that organization.
It feels a little like they would prefer you to make the bets on camera for them.
Right. That's a sports book on the holes.
Right. No porta potties after the second green, but there is a kiosk for you to bet on yourself on the third hole.
And an ATM.
Yeah, exactly. We are off and rolling on a summer Friday. Bogish, Bilotti, Botcher. We got a Schwartz on this Friday morning. And as always, there is a lot to get to, including Sounds of Saturday return. Mark Daniels, the voice of UCF football. They debut in the Big 12 this fall. And man, oh man, I cannot believe how close we are to actual football games. Last night still does not count. NFL preseason action, Texans, Patriots, and the Vikings and Seahawks. I guess that was football. I guess there were things to look at in those games. We did get 2 series of C.J. Stroud. So there are things to, I guess, extrapolate from that, which we'll do all morning long. But when we come back, it's time for Soundcheck. We've got Rick Barry on the current Celtic leaders on the court. We've got Dirk Nowitzki, young deer in the headlights, staying hot as a rookie. And Zach Gelb returns to soundcheck. All when we come back, the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Welcome back to a summer fried DA here on CBS Sports Radio. Bogish, Bilotti, Botcher, Schwartz, all here with you until 10 a.m. Eastern. Thanks for being with us. Here we go with Soundcheck. Here we go with Rick Barry. You've heard this before. Old guy upset at young guys in the same sport. This is Rick sitting down with Joy DeAngela.
I mean, you look at some of the contracts they have, even, you know, like Brown, you know, $306 million. I mean, that's just hard for me to believe. I mean, you know what his average in the playoffs for them is 18.5 points a game. I mean, 18.5 points a game, and he's making, and he's going to make $69 million in the last year of his contract.
That's great. That's a lot of money, Rick.
But 18.5 points a game, that's nothing. Seriously, to pay somebody that kind of money, and he's a nice player. I really like him. But, man, he's got to improve his game. He turns the ball over too much. He tries to force things, and so is his teammate, Tatum. That's one of the reasons they lost to the Warriors two seasons ago. They make too many turnovers. In the game of basketball, you must say, there's a saying, keep it simple, stupid, okay? Keep it as simple as possible. You take what the defense gives you.
So Rick is not wrong in that there are plenty of things to pick at when it comes to Jaylen Brown's game, Jason Tatum's game too. There are basketball reasons why the Celtics have not gotten as far as people think they should have gotten, whether those thoughts came now or 3 or 4 years ago. They're valid thoughts. But the problem is, and it's, you know, at times annoying that we keep doing this, trying to attach direct value from a player's stats to his salary is just a waste of time now. It's never going to make sense unless you're talking about the very, very best in the planet, on the planet. You know, LeBron, whatever Otani gets, what Mike Trout is getting, whatever Connor McDavid makes in the NHL, Aaron Donald, Patrick Mahomes. There's not many people who are going to even come close to matching on-field value and contract value. The numbers are just out of control, and they're not going to change. And in Jaylen Brown's situation, someone was going to give him that money. Someone was going to give him absurd hundreds of millions of dollars because that's just how it goes. So the question then is, what should the Celtics have done? And we had that conversation. Do you trade Jaylen Brown, let somebody else pay him, and recoup those assets and either use them right away or turn them into something else and give yourself that kind of facelift? The Celtics didn't do that. They kept Jaylen Brown. They kept Jason Tatum. They're going to pay Tatum the same contract basically a year from now. So that's the conversation, not the, I can't believe they're making so much money. You're never going to believe that. So why even waste time with those emotions? Let's stay in the NBA. Let's go back in time. This may be before Ryan Botcher was born. I'm not sure. A rookie Dirk Nowitzki apparently did not know how to use the AC in his car. Here's Dirk and Rachel Nichols on Headliners.
So I was only there for like 2-3 months, and I'll take my time. I'll buy a car in my year two when I come back. I have right. time. And so my year one, I just had a rental car. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was driving it around. It worked great. And, of course, the players are always killing me when I drove up to practice or the plane. And they were like, what are you doing? It was just like a little car. I'll come to the games and I'll be sweating. And guys are like, what are you doing? I walk in the locker room sweating a bit, and they were like, why are you sweating? I was like, well, it's super hot. I drove with the window down. And then somebody actually came to the car and said, see this AC button there? Mm-hmm. You have to actually push that in. Mm-hmm. And then the AC comes on. I was like, oh, I was wondering how that worked.
These are good stories. These are always good stories. Guys coming from different countries, from small towns, they get to the big city, they get to a new country, and they just don't know how things work. Now, I would argue, I don't know how you don't know how to turn the AC on in your car, but there's a sweet innocence to, like, here's the first time I'm doing something as an adult in a new place. It's endearing. My favorite one, and this actually might be more stupidity than anything else, but the story of Ricky Henderson and his first paycheck in the majors, and the A's were like, Ricky hasn't deposited his check yet. It was still just an outstanding money floating out in the ether. And when they asked him, he said he had framed it because he was so proud to finally get it and it meant so much to him. Didn't realize he should have put it in the bank first. And then when the bank gave it back to him, he could have framed it then. He framed a live, valid money check instead of putting it in his bank. So that's probably more like stupid than anything else, but I still like those stories. Do we like these kind of stories is your question before the last bit of sound check. It's our good friend Zach Gelb. I feel like it's been a while since we've heard from Gelby in sound check. Zach is not doing his show, at least as of yesterday. He's filling in with Maggie. He's playing the role of Perloff. So musical chairs all over the place on the network this week. I don't know the full backstory here, but it involves Philly shortstop Bryson Stott and then Gelb eating ice cream with ranch dressing on it yesterday on Maggie and Perloff.
This is chunky.
Oh, that looks so bad.
I'll give you a healthy portion.
That looks...
This is the... Look at the... It just drips. It's gross.
It's all in there.
All right.
All right, he's taking a bite. Oh, no. Oh, he shuddered. Oh.
It's bad. The mint, though, actually helps because it gives me some flavor.
Oh, no.
Suckers!
We helped you.
It's not terrible.
He took another bite. He likes it.
Okay, so can anybody walk me through the specifics here of the Bryson Stott connection? Was he really just putting ranch dressing on ice cream? Did he eat the ranch dressing ice cream that we mentioned on this show? What was going on here? Nothing? Crickets? We got nothing?
So it was like, so they had the free ice cream here yesterday,
correct,
right? So I guess he got the ice cream, and then he just got a bottle of ranch dressing for salad, and he poured it in there. He put a generous amount, you could say, of ranch in that, and he basically almost finished the whole cup.
And so, do we know how Bryson Stott's connected to this? Does Bryson Stott do this?
Maybe he does something like this. I'm not 100% sure, but if it is, it's still weird.
I mean,
they had that ice cream flavor coming out.
Right, which we did, I think we did on Stunts with News,
right,
the ranch dressing flavor of ice cream from Hidden Valley and somebody, and that's unacceptable. And we were smart enough not to try that on the show. I think 2014, 2016, I don't remember the history here, but the year of ranch dressing is long in the past. But I still love ranch dressing. It's my favorite salad dressing. Dip some carrots and cut up cucumbers in there as a snack. Big ranch dressing guy. Can go on a lot of things. It can't go on ice cream. There's no way that any flavor of ice cream tastes good with ranch dressing on top of it.
Okay, so...
No.
So, it was a report from an announcer saying that he would put it and eat it. But according to this article I'm reading, it's fake. So, Taryn Hatcher is lying.
She's reported that Bryson Stott puts ranch dressing on his ice cream.
Yeah, it was during a Royals-Phillies game, and it made fans disgusted.
As it
should. Into a beer.
There should be rules about these things. Some things just don't go together, and if you put them together, that's something that needs to be figured out about you.
Whoa!
And this is on the list. But, Bilotti, as a programmer, as a boss...
Hi.
Do you think that we need a network-wide moratorium on eating bits? It feels like they're coming fast and furious recently.
I feel like there's a lot.
It's a lot, right?
There's a lot of them. I don't mind a good food battle. Don't mind it at all. Everyone loves food.
Right.
But
any good idea can be overused.
Right. I don't want to be hitting the head constantly with it.
And, you know, we do them. And the last one we did was oddly mean from DA when he sabotaged, tricked all of us by eating horrible,
awful, gross
Asian snack chips tasting like the bottom of the ocean, not sour cream and onion.
Ugh.
So we do that. We do these, but that's the last one we did, and that was weeks ago, and there's not another one on the horizon.
Good.
We're going to let it breathe.
Let it breathe.
It's like cop shows. like cop shows and hospital shows.
Now, all right, so.
Oh, but cop shows make millions of dollars.
And I also.
Very different.
I'd rather watch 18 cop shows than 18 food bits on radio shows.
Potato, potato, same thing.
The reason why Cops was around for years.
Yeah, you give me the first 48 marathon, I'm in. But I don't need to watch another person eat hot wings or a full jar of this or whatever.
And judge shows, too.
Never could get behind a judge show.
I could.
They're too stupid. I never understood, like, does this really count? Do I really owe you $5,000 if we leave here? They were too fake for me.
A small claims court.
Yeah, I just, no thanks.
What about family disputes, like Jerry Springer?
No. And I watch a lot of bad TV. That's just not part of the lineup.
And Maury, when the cameras chase people after saying you're not the father or you are the father, it's great.
No, because even that at some point, like I saw one where like it was like phobias, and he just kept bringing out what people were afraid of. And some of them were odd, and you're like, why?
Green olives was
right.
One of them.
And that lady almost died. And that was funny for a little bit, but then I'm like, she's going to die over green olives. It's funny. It's not. She can't die.
How much of that was staged, though? It's
I
so
would hope
ridiculous.
All of it. But again, give me a below deck. Any version. Sailing yacht, down under, straight below deck, and I'm there.
But sailing yacht stinks. Sorry.
I don't need Judge Wapner anymore.
Wapner.
I got the N in there. Wapner. I got there.
He's in the Judge Show Hall of Fame.
It should be him alone.
Judge Judy.
And Doug Llewellyn. Doug Llewellyn, him, Harvey Levin, and Judge Judy.
Do we need to retire, by the way, Detective Milkshake? And if we do, do we introduce Judge Whopper into the mix?
Judge Whopper. I like Judge Whopper.
Yeah?
He's like dressed up as the, you know, the different color Whoppers. Like the green, you know how they change it for the holidays?
I think there's ways to go there. As we move forward and figure out what bits can continue and what should go away.
You have Judge Whopper along with the Hamburglar, Grimace, all those.
855-212-4CBS.
855-212-4227.
It's a summer Friday here on CBS Sports Radio. And with me sitting in for DA, someone's got to sit in for me. So here are headlines once again with Peter Schwartz.
Do you, folks, do you remember when Judge Wapner had to settle a dispute between Johnny Carson and David Letterman on The Tonight Show?
I do not.
Oh, it's a great clip. You can find it on YouTube. So apparently. Johnny Carson did this bit where David Letterman at one point didn't live too far from him, had a house in Los Angeles there.
Okay.
And David Letterman drove around this hideously ugly and beat up truck. So Letterman is a guest on The Tonight Show, and they show how Carson sent people to his house because he said it was an eyesore for the neighborhood. They send people to the house to pick up the truck, and they bring it to The Tonight Show, and they bring it on set. Letterman is completely embarrassed by the whole thing. So they go up, and they look at the car. Eddie says, wait a second, this dent wasn't here when I left the car this morning. So apparently in the transport from Letterman's house to The Tonight Show set, there was an extra ding. So they did this bit on a subsequent show where Judge Wapner hears the arguments from Johnny Carson and David Letterman. It's hysterical. One of the great bits that they ever pulled off together.
I'm too young for Carson, but I love Letterman. No one to me did it better in my lifetime than him, and he's still hilarious.
Mm-hmm. He could still do it if he wanted to. Like 100%. If any of these shows ever needed like a fill-in host, they could just bring him out and he would absolutely kill it.
Yeah.
I miss him terribly. We'll begin in Los Angeles, where the Rockies and the Dodgers were tied at one in the eighth inning.
Well, the crowd is standing now. 3-1. Bases loaded, 2 out. Tied at one. Daniel Bard set and delivers. Muncy takes low and inside, ball 4, and the Dodgers take a 2-1 lead. Muncy walks with the bases loaded. Hayward trots home.
That was Charlie Steiner on Dodgers Radio. The Dodgers beat the Rockies 2-1. Clayton Kershaw made his return from the injured list, got a no decision. He allowed a run and 3 hits over 5 innings.
It was great to be back. You know, I've no fun to sit on the sidelines
So you want to be out there. You want to be a part of what's going on here. You know, you want to help your team win. It was a great feeling.
And the Dodgers have now won 5 in a row. Now to Citizens Bank Park, where the Phillies had the long ball working.
The pitch.
Swung on, hit well, right center, high and deep. And that one is going to go. JT Realmuto gets in on it. It's his 14th home run of the season. Over the out-of-town scoreboard, a two-run shot of his own. And the Phillies breaking it open. They lead it 6-1.
Scott Fransky, the call on Phillies radio. Trey Turner and Nick Castellanos also hit two-run homers. The Phillies beat the Nationals 6-2, and the Phillies now a season-high 12 games over 500.
And this game had another inexplicable call at first base. It was in Philly earlier this week when that same replacement first base umpire had three calls overturned. Two of them were so awful that Dom Smith, the Washington first baseman, couldn't believe that they were called like that. And then yesterday they're turning a double play, and the throw to first base pulls the first baseman off the he's airborne. The runner is through first base and he's called out. And everyone's involved, the first baseman, the runner, the first base coach, they're so shocked by how bad the call is, they don't even have a reaction. They're stunned to a news. First base in Philadelphia is making umpires dumber than they already are this week.
Unbelievable. You mind if I do a food bit here?
Please.
In Baltimore, the Orioles beat the Astros 5-4. At one point in the game, a foul ball landed in a fan's plate of barbecue.
There you go.
You can translate that one any way you want. That's a
there you go. Lick the ball. Go ahead. Come on.
Barbecue baseball. Sauce. Not yeah. A feature at Boots. 2-2 for O'Hearn. They appeal. He did hold up his swing.
This is hilarious.
Give another look at this. I mean, we already saw a splash catch home run. They're there. Oh! Let the tray do the work.
That's classic.
Who needs a glove?
The ball lands right in the plate of barbecue. What would you do?
So,
by the way, that was courtesy of Masson.
Now, I actually was going to ask you this because I saw this video yesterday, and the second view that they show on the broadcast is from across the field, so you can see a little better than the original thing. And it looks to me like, because the ball ricochets up a couple of rows of seats, so it's lost some steam by the time it gets near this guy. It looks to me that he reaches out, and the ball hits him, and then it falls in the tray. This is not a guy like holding up his beer cup or his hat.
Right.
Now, Ryan's shaking his
head.
It's
fraudulent. It's fraudulent.
I'm right, right?
Yeah, it bounces, okay. And then it goes into his tray. It's not a real catch.
He didn't hold the tray out and catch it. It didn't accidentally land and splatter things. Now, it does have a big smack of barbecue sauce on it, and it looks like he's contemplating licking the sauce off, and then they cut away from it. I think he's required to lick the sauce off.
I would.
Yeah, right?
You're going to get 30 diseases.
Whatever. He'll be fine. Barbecue sauce kills whatever's on the ball. But I'm glad that you saw it the same way, Ryan, because he didn't catch it with the tray. It ended up in the tray. Still cool, but he didn't make a tray catch.
Yeah, it was off the bounce. Doesn't count.
Yeah, I would definitely lick the sauce off the ball.
Yeah, no anyone question. That would have thrown the food out after that, loser. You're eating it.
Red Sox beat the Royals 2-0. You had the Cardinals over the Rays 5-2. The Tigers beat the Twins 3-0. Preseason football is back. Not just the Hall of Fame game, but now the official week one is underway. The Texans beat the Patriots 20-9. In his first taste of NFL football, rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud, 2 of 4, 13 yards, and an interception.
Kind of a crazy opportunity to be able to go out my first NFL stadium, first NFL game, and just a lot of things that I've been through to just get to that moment. So it was just special.
Davis Mills, Case Keenum, each with a touchdown pass. And in Seattle, the Seahawks beat the Vikings 24-3. Scary moment. Seahawks wide receiver Kay Johnson suffering a concussion during the second quarter, taken off the field on a stretcher and to a hospital. After the game, head coach Pete Carroll did say initial tests showed that Johnson had no issues besides the concussion. The golf now, Jordan Spieth, the lead after one round of the St. Jude Championship. He's 7 under, one shot better than Tom Kim.
Peter, thank you so much. We'll get to more of those preseason games last night. C.J. Stroud playing two series for the Texans is certainly of note this morning. When we come back, though, opening night in the NBA is October 24th, so a little more than 2 months from now, we'll have real NBA basketball again, and apparently these are the two games we're going to have that night. That's next, the A's Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, Pete said, you're going to love the music I'm playing coming back.
Wait a minute. Don't tell me you don't know this song.
I don't.
No childhood.
You never played a basketball video game?
Is this Double Dribble?
No, this is NBA Jam.
Sorry.
I'll take the loss. Oh, that's a big loss right there.
Goodness.
You don't deserve your beach ball.
Good.
Ridiculous.
I'll sit here. I'll take whatever you guys got. I never in a million years would I have gotten NBA Jam out of this.
Oh, my
never.
Goodness.
Sorry.
It's like one of the few basketball games that isn't terrible.
And Ryan knows it, and he was born in last year.
Yeah, so here's the difference. Now, I played the original NBA Jam, so I got that over you, not any reissues now.
One of my friends has an old arcade system you can play it
on. Yeah, so. I played it when it wasn't a vintage arcade game in a basement. So I win that. I didn't get it. Sorry, man. But I'm also, in my defense, I'm bad at this game. You could play Pearl Jam or Dave Matthews songs now, and it would take me longer than you'd think to tell you the name of the song.
Really?
I'm bad at the that game.
I thought you'd be very good at that.
No, I'm just bad at it. I don't know what that means about my brain, like what's not strong or connected well, but it takes me a second.
Oh, that's terrible.
Some people can do it like on three, you know, there's a couple shows on TV, game shows that people do it like in three notes.
Not Let's Make a Deal. Name that tune.
Beat Shazam.
Is that an actual thing?
But Jamie Foxx, yeah.
Oh, okay. Name That Tune, I think, has been remade. There's a new one with Elizabeth Banks that's the host, maybe? And they play that, and I just can't do it.
It's not exactly Jim Lang.
I can't do it. It's just not how my head works. Even for my most favorite bands, musicians, whatever, it takes me time.
That's a surprising nugget about Bogus.
But I would have gotten like a Mario Brothers song. Just NBA Jam was never going to come to my head there.
Oh, we're gonna have to improve your knowledge of the music.
So this was a knowledge one. But the other stuff is not knowledge. It's just however it goes from my ears to my brain and out to my mouth with a band and a title. It takes a long time.
Yeah, Bridge is the same way with that. Like the music, like I say, oh, you remember this song? Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, and eventually, like I could sing every lyric of the song to you, but it would take me a minute to go, oh yeah, that's that, and the song is called this.
Right.
But then once I'm in, I'm in.
Wow. All right. Well, that was supposed to be the lead into the NBA, but you know.
So I ruined it.
Yes.
I ruined it.
Ruiner.
NBA opening night, apparently, reportedly, Lakers Nuggets, and then Suns Warriors on October 24th, and the lead is. It's two West-ish coast games. There's no East Coast game, and I guess people were clamoring for Celtics Heat. We can go through this a little more. I think I know what the NBA is doing here, but maybe I know nothing. We got that, and we've got the Patriots and the Texans last night giving us the beginnings of the first full weekend of NFL preseason action. Stay with us. It's the DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.